I have been, as you know, preaching on Hebrews in the morning and Revelation at night, and that has 97 factors in its advantages, but it has this disadvantage in that sometimes you want desperately to say something to the people that the Lord has warmed your own heart with, and you can't because you're already committed to the books. That I have two messages which I want to bring, one tonight and one now and one tonight, on the humanity of Jesus. And I'll just take this opportunity, since it's missionary time, to intersperse these two talks on the humanity of Jesus. I got one left, which I'll give you some other time, but these two. And we'll look in Acts, the second chapter, please. Beginning with verse 22. Ye men of Israel, said Peter, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then in verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And I want you to pray a moment. Now, Lord, we're before thee this morning with all our human limitations and our human weaknesses and even our human faults. And yet we are thinking in terms of eternal values, and we're thinking of thy kingdom, thy church, thy people, thy gospel, thy holy son, our privilege, our responsibility, our duty, and our joy. O Lord, help us, we pray, to make these words to be spoken, to enlarge our hearts, inspire our spirits, inform our minds, and contribute to the cause of world missions. We trust thee now. Thy blessing be upon us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I have preached a great deal on the godhood of the man Christ Jesus. But I want this morning and tonight to speak on the manhood of the God Christ Jesus. You know, the liberals, they don't make enough of the deity of Christ. And the evangelicals don't make enough of his humanity. I've been convinced of that for a long time. I think I've mentioned it, but I want to give a little treatment of it, sermonic treatment tonight, this morning and tonight. And I want to point out to you that if we send missionaries to the foreign field, they're going to have something to tell the people they go to. And what is that thing they're supposed to go and tell the people? Now, one of the things they're not supposed to do is to go to places like Thailand and Laos and Cambodia and Africa and such places and make good Canadians out of them. And they're not supposed to go and make good Americans out of them. That's sure. And it would not be sufficient to send our missionaries to the foreign lands to tell people to be good in order to be happy. Or if they brush their teeth with Pepsodent, they will not lose them. Or it's better to take a bath than not to take a bath. Or to wear clothes than not to wear clothes. I wouldn't support any effort on anybody's part to change the social habits of the heathen, which we call them, the people of other lands. But do we have a message? Is there anything that we can take them? What is it we send them out to say to the people? Well, in the passage which I have read to you, we have the simple message which those early Christians gave to the world. And this message they not only gave, but it was the message that inspired them. They said, "This man whom ye have crucified has been made by God to be both Lord and Christ." This simple message set them ablaze. They were ablaze with it. And they had boundless enthusiasm. And this message made them unconquerable, and it made them willing to give up of their goods and even to die. And there was nothing heavy and profound about it. If we had said to them, "Do you believe in Calvinism?" they would have said, "Pardon me, but I don't know what you mean. I believe that a man named Jesus who was crucified is risen and is the right hand of God and that he's there for me. Do you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture?" They would have said, "We don't know about the pre-tribulation rapture, but we know that there is one of us, one of our number, born into our world, taking on himself our humanity. And now he's at the right hand of the Father in the place of complete authority." This they would have said. And this we must say. You never want to underestimate the ability of human beings to get confused and to get